Hold on. Doping in pigeon racing is the practice of giving performance-enhancing drugs to avian racers. The drugs are used to produce similar effects to those found in human athletes.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Shenantics Podcast. I think this is episode 41, and that's amazing. We're almost to 50. I don't know what we're going to do when we get to 50, and I somehow remember that it was episode 41. But anyway, whatever. My name is Skanky, and I'm here with my best friend, M-Call. M-Call, what's like, going on? How are you feeling about us?
When we get to 50, can we have an over-the-hill party episodes or something like that? Like, we're epically aged as a podcast? I don't know. It's like dog years, right? Every month that goes by is like 8 years in real life. Yeah, isn't that a whole
thing?
Isn't that
a thing?
Like when people get old, they say they're over the hill or something like that? No? I don't know. Yeah, and then they put tombstones in people's front yard.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Crap like that. Yeah, it's really morbid.
Oh. Wait, what?
I'm friends with a lot of 50-year-olds, all right? And
I shop around.
I'm an old soul, okay? I'm an old soul. When I tell them about Shenantics, I have to pretend that we're like over the airwaves radio. I was like, yeah. So we broadcast on 207.3 AM and
AM. I listen to that channel every morning. All the 50-year-olds
that listen
to
us now hate us. So it's gonna be. We're off to a great start.
Oh yeah.
No, it actually really isn't.
50 years old is not old.
So it's I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there is a possibility that's a Shenantic fanatic is 50, and they're like, first of all, you're on the FM band.
I hate these guys. You're on the FM band. I'm listening to FM radio.
That's a 60-year-old thing, is AM radio stations. Just working my way up, all right?
All the 60-year-olds.
So, remember, if you guys have any feedback, shenanticspodcast@gmail.com, Skanky's the one that reads them. So, it's...
Oh, yeah. I read them.
A while ago,
we
were supposed to get money. I think Skanky's just pocketed it and has not told me about it.
No, that person actually never contacted us back. I think they got a little scared by my how serious we were in the email back, that they were like, holy crap,
they're
like,
cops.
These guys
they're
are so serious,
police.
Like, we should deal with them, you know. Clearly police officers.
They walked
yes,
in like,
yeah, FBI
hey,
agents.
Kids, you got any that marijuana? They're like, all right, dude.
You got any of that weed? That. Any of that hash, as the kids say?
Oh, man. Yeah. I should be.
I love, we get a lot of spam emails. I got one today. Actually, no, this is 6 days ago. Good morning to you. I'm Peter Sablin of the U.S. Army. I'm presently on active service on the 4th Squadron in Afghanistan. I have an urgent business proposal to share with you.
Oh,
if,
my God.
If only you will be interested. Please contact me on my email for details. This is fantastic. I think maybe we should reply to this man, Peter.
We do.
We just get so many strange things.
It's our spam inbox versus actual feedback is like about a billion to one, maybe.
Socks
is sandwich,
but we get
email clearly counted as one. So,
oh,
right, yes,
that was a great email. So, I liked that email.
So that one counted as one, and then we got the other billion. That we respond to all of our spam emails. We can't do it on podcast because we don't have enough time. But we usually every week after the podcast, you and I spend about like 9 hours together, just going through those. So.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you put in double shifts, 12 hours.
It's worth it. The amount of money that they're offering to us, like, you gotta put the time in.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. You gotta, man. You gotta try.
Yeah.
What if one of them is real?
Exactly.
Huh?
All these people that are like, oh, no, it's just spam, like, just throwing money away. just throwing money away. So I tell you, people these days, they just don't want to put the work in.
Exactly.
Think the computer's going to do it for them.
Thank you, M. Cole. Somebody gets it. So,
just still waiting.
So I heard.
Oh yeah.
I heard about a little bit of drama on Twitch. As you know, I love bringing up drama.
That's what Shenantics is. Shenantics, the podcast where Skinky explains drama to M. Cole. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm kind of surprised you probably, I don't know if you did hear about this. I haven't even mentioned it yet, so maybe you did. But somebody got a permaban for playing copyrighted music on the
stream. No way. No way. I don't believe it. Okay.
They got a DMCA takedown.
But see, I don't know if I believe
that. And they got banned.
The DMCA takedown would be like, take the video down. Like, why would it be like, remove the entire channel?
I know. Because I think
were they notified
too many violations
about it beforehand?
Multiple. I think so. I
was
wanna, I need to confirm all of these things. I don't remember the streamer's name, but Hassan, who is, you know, the partnerships account manager for Twitch, posted a couple of tweets about it. It's kind of interesting. I mean, let's see here. Hold on. He wrote, PSA, people that are messaging me asking me if playing music is okay. No. If you don't own it, don't play it. You risk being DMCA'd. Mm-hmm. Not new, in all caps. So he said, okay, maybe this person got a... Oh, maybe they did get permanently suspended. He says, it's a three-strike system. 24-hour suspension on the first, 24-hour suspension on the second, and then a permanent suspension on the third. And the content gets removed.
And
obviously
they notify you because you're suspended, right? Like, so the person had to have known about it. They knew about it for their first two strikes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's that sounds fair to me. That sounds fair to me. Yeah, I mean, the reason why is that, A, we all know that not to play copyrighted music, right? And when we choose to, it is literally at our own risk. Like, I don't know, I find it, like, especially the first time you get notified about it, right? Like, I can understand maybe ignorance, but, like, the first time that you get 24-hour suspension because you play copyrighted music, I would never play copyrighted music after that. Part of me thinks maybe it's like the same song, because I highly doubt that all of these studios, all the different music producers, music labels, all of them are searching for every song, right? Yeah, I mean, like, it seems like there was one specific label, or maybe even down to one specific artist that they were kind of looking out for. Because I also, like, Twitch mutes VODs, but I don't know how much they report back to the music labels about what music is being played on what videos. So I don't know.
Uh-huh. I don't think so.
I mean, maybe it's even the other side where it's like you got some trolly person that thinks it's funny, or someone that has an axe to grind against you that then reports you because of something. But yeah.
It
seems like it's not a widespread thing. Like, we don't really hear it, and we all know endless amounts of streams that play copyrighted music. So.
Yeah, and we kind of have gotten used to just having our VODs muted and, like, it not being a big deal. But, yeah, I guess...
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I think this has happened before. I think people have gotten banned, but it hasn't been, like, a widespread thing, because I think this person was a partner, which caused lots of issues. So...
That is a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little weird. I think because we're just so used to it, but I understand where it's coming from.
It's interesting, but it's also kind of like the same thing as, like, I don't know, I feel like that, especially with the three strikes thing, like, if you value your channel and you got one strike, I would absolutely end it. But by the second strike, I think I would do everything in my power to prevent getting the third one as much as I possibly could. One thing that would really suck, though, is that if it is music that's in the video game. Because, like, I know if you play, like, Fallout 4, they're just standard. Yeah. I don't even know if it's just even the radio or if it's, like, in-game music. But there's some portion of it that is that's copyrighted, obviously, but B, like, there isn't permission to stream it. And so, like, your VOD will be muted for all portions that have it, which is actually a decent amount. The reason I know is because when I streamed Fallout 4, like, when I first started streaming, I was like, why are my VODs muted? I was just playing the game. Like, I thought this was allowed. But, like, that would really suck. Can you imagine if you got, like, DMCA takedown on two strikes, and then you played Fallout 4, and then they count that as your third strike? Like, it was like, oh, like, that would be awful. That would be really, really bad.
That would suck. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I feel like if really that happened, could you imagine the uproar? So, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I always get pissed when my VOD gets really, muted really from in-game music.
But, I mean, also, like, even further than that, like, technically they can do DMCA takedowns for the video game itself, too. Because, like, although, like, it's a huge gray area in, like, the legal thing. Like, there's kind of, like, a split argument about whether or not you're doing, like, an open-ended game or a story game. Because, like, if you're playing a story game, like, for example, like, The Walking Dead, there's a set, like, beginning to end. And then, like, they have a stronger argument that that is a copyrighted thing of theirs. Where if you're playing Minecraft, like, what you create wasn't necessarily envisioned by the developers because they can't predict like everything that's going to be created, and so like that has less of like a DMCA protection from what I understand from talking to other attorneys about this. The reason why it kind of came up somewhat recently is, was it like a month ago when Firewatch had the Campo Santo, the developers behind Firewatch, had that taken down off of PewDiePie's channel for DMCA. So it happens with video games too. So it's just, but it's kind of like the thing in the industry where it's like, it's better not to take it down because the developers and publishers and everyone that makes video games, they benefit from having the game be streamed too. So why would they don't necessarily want to stop that? But so I don't know. It's an interesting, weird legal area that the internet causes problems with, like everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I try not to play copyrighted music. Obviously, it happens a lot.
Just get a license for it.
But, you know, I mean,
like, I think for that one, you should just go get the license.
I should just buy a license for it.
It's probably not very expensive. So.
Yeah, maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe I should go check. I'll just be like, yeah, fuck it. Just do it.
I feel like not really knowing much behind it other than, like, I know a couple streams was talking about they get licenses for all the music they cover. And they're talking like, they're like, it's like a few bucks, like, for them to get the license for it. But it's also, as a, like, if you're streaming and you want to just stream copyrighted music, and it's not the time commitment to have to go track down every single license for everything you want to play. If you play it for your entire stream, imagine you have an 8-hour stream and you play copyrighted music the entire time. Like, all you're probably played like what, 70 songs, more than that. Like, have to go track down each individual license from each one. And then someone might not give it to you and stuff. But, if there's like just a few pieces, then I think it's a, you can always go get the license. You should do it and let us know.
Yeah,
I think that'd be cool.
Maybe. I wonder how that would go.
Cool. Yeah.
A little journey. I personally dislike streams where all they do is just play like music the whole entire time. I just like, I try not to listen to them, and I'm assuming that that was what was happening here, was that like, it's one of these areas where if you go to their VODs, the whole VOD is muted because they're just playing music the entire time. So I'm sure, like, if you're just doing it here and there, like, it's not really a big deal still. Yeah. Like, but obviously you're at risk no matter what. Yeah. But I mean,
be careful out there.
Stay be careful. On the internet. Be careful.
Yeah. So
yes, very important.
That is cool. Or not cool. That is interesting. I didn't hear that. I think it's going, screw that guy.
I think it's cool.
Go record labels.
Yeah, screw them. You got warned. Come on. Use your damn brain.
Sometimes it's almost better to be a smaller streamer. You kind of like skirt underneath the radar. Like, no one really gives a crap that like the 10, 20, 30 viewer people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. It's not worth it.
We don't.
Yeah, we don't matter.
I care about you.
No one cares about us.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's, we at least...
Thanks. I'm calling here about you, too. You know what I also... I really care about, you know, you yeah, not yeah. playing
Maybe
games.
Maybe you should have voted
really
for PUBG in
that.
My Twitter poll. Just saying. Well, maybe you should talk to the guy that wrote
yeah,
the tweet and be
an
like,
option.
Hey, you should put PUBG in there, see what people want.
Well, I did put anime sex games, and I'll have you know that I believe
they
more
did,
people voted
honestly.
For that via likes.
I think
then I need to go check this out. Hold on, let's see here. Let's see. Oh, wait, I can't check the number of...
Oh, yeah, I can pull it.
Do you get the number of likes? The number of votes?
You okay, wait, I thought I'm you could see. If you click on the detail of the tweet, I think it should show you.
It just says 27
votes. Oh, no,
votes
I have to do the math.
I
the,
could do the
75%
math?
Of 27 votes.
Oh,
boy, we need a law content.
God damn it. It's okay. Hold on.
20 votes.
Okay, you got 20. Okay, well, I was close.
How many likes were on the tweet?
I came
How
in
many
second.
Likes were on the tweet? Wow, you did come close. You beat 13. You beat Oxygen not included. So.
Well, how about we add the five
replies? No, because how many people
well.
Liked and then
were,
replied.
Then we're almost equal.
Because I guarantee you anyone that replied probably liked the guy. Tweet.
We had... I really hope someone did it.
That's what I was thinking, too. That is Lynn. The one I was thinking of. I was about to make a caveat. It says, if I couldn't figure out how to word it to exclude Lynn.
The first person. Plus, I think we should also add the likes from Nick's picture
oh,
of
Nesto's,
you holding
yeah.
a May body pillow. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I just,
that's a good idea. We should do that.
I just have to comment that I love my life that a Photoshop picture of me holding a May body pillow has existed on the internet. But not only that, like it was, I think it was created like 6 or 7 months ago, and then it can resurface at a future conversation some point later. Like that's like my favorite thing in the world. So it's great. It's great.
I love it.
Gotta love
I love
internet,
it.
But. No, yeah, we'll do the voiceover anime sex games and stuff.
I don't know. When we come back, I have the Doki Doki Literature
yes,
Club.
Yes, the pigeon one.
And then we have
so
the
awesome.
Pigeon one. It's all, so well. Supposedly, Mark came to me and mm-hmm. said that Doki Doki Literature Club will probably take us 6 hours to get through. So
yeah, we have to buckle up.
That might
up.
Be multiple
get ready,
streams.
Everyone.
For that. Perfect. So yeah, everyone's gotta get ready for that one.
This is gonna be great.
So yeah.
Oh gosh.
It supposedly Spoilers. Has a dark ending, so I know.
I'm
like
really worried.
Nervous now. I'm sorry that I
okay,
mentioned
cool.
that. I should never mind, it doesn't have a dark
Perfect.
Ending.
I'm just messing around.
So.
Yeah. Probably has a very happy mm-hmm. ending.
Oh yeah, it's kind of oh, nice. A really happy. Wait, ending. I think you fall in love with a pigeon.
Is that what I was gonna say? Is that which one are we
it's
talking about now? Do they
it's
both
the
have pigeons? They should. I think every game should be a
they
pigeon
should.
Romance simulator.
I think so. I think.
Do you
I
not
think
have
pigeons,
pigeons
are kind of cool?
York City? Okay, then how in the world do you think they're
of
cool? They're rats
do.
With wings.
I mean, like,
really?
I
have you ever seen a
cool.
baby pigeon?
There's so
pigeon?
Many different kinds of pigeons.
Because they're immortal.
No. I
Every pigeon that we see now
actually.
Has always been living. There's no such thing as a baby pigeon. Yeah. No, you're lying.
Really?
It was an owl.
Oh, wait. No, I have seen a baby pigeon.
I don't think so, Skinky.
No, I've seen a baby pigeon.
How do you know it was a baby pigeon?
My great uncle
really?
Was a pigeon racer.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
Yeah, it's not a joke.
Oh my gosh,
he used to race.
And then
pigeons.
You got just skanky. Are you like the black sheep of the family? Yeah. You got like pigeon racer, and then you got this lame hobby where you play video games on the internet. Like, what happened? If I was your parents, I'd be like, what did we do wrong? Like, it's...
No. I mean, no. He was kind of crazy.
I don't know. That sounds pretty awesome, though. Hmm.
Yeah, he did race pigeons. There are still a lot of pigeon clubs in New York. Like, people who their hobby is raising pigeons.
Are you shitting me? No way.
It's a big hobby. Yeah, so there are mm-hmm. pigeon like bird feed stores and stuff, and they have coops mm-hmm. on top of their like apartment complexes. And like that's their passion. They raise pigeons, and they love caring for them and like getting more of them. It's like a whole
You're blowing
thing.
My mind right now. I honestly did not think this existed.
Yeah. And some of them race them, but most don't. They just like
Google
pigeons.
Pigeon racing videos and just watch that for the rest of the night after podcast.
I learned actually a lot of this. One of the older girls mm-hmm. in the class before ahead of me.
Oh, really?
Is doing her documentary on pigeons, and like the guys who like have pigeon coops. And
really cool.
I learned a lot about pigeons.
You're like changing my outlook for pigeons is completely flip flop from where we started this conversation. You are convincing
rats,
me of that. Yes.
Every single pigeon you look at is different than another one.
Hashtag pigeon facts.
Yeah, they're all different. Exactly. And if you, one of the things I learned is that for racing pigeons, mm-hmm. you obviously want to have the healthiest pigeon possible. And if you like turn them over, there's like a gland on their stomach or something, or I don't know. And if you look at it and you feel it, then you can tell if the pigeon is healthy or not by how coarse or hard the gland is and the color of it.
Okay, hold on. So this conversation is weird enough. I don't know if you're bullshitting me or not.
That's a fact. That's
internet. Help me. Pigeon racing gland.
I'm going to look it up too. How to tell if a...
Oh my God, racing pigeon's thyroid gland.
Healthy.
Oh my God, pigeon racing.
Dude, pigeons.biz.
Oh my God.
Pigeon talk.
This is... Oh my God, inside an older a pigeon clock? Traditional timing methods?
Oh, there is a pigeon clock. Yeah, so what happens is they like leave... Once they leave, it triggers the timer. Like it's like a little door, and then they have to go wherever it is, and then by the time they come back, you have to train them to go through the hole so that it triggers the door to close again and then stop the timer. It's like it's a whole thing, man.
That's crazy. And also, I gotta say, baby pigeons are hideously ugly. That's quite disturbing, these two. So yeah, they're kind of creeping me out.
Oh, the pigeons that you're looking at?
Hens are often capable of laying upwards of 12 eggs per year, and squabs usually leave the nest at approximately 3 to 4 weeks of age. Interesting.
Oh.
This is... Hold on. Doping in pigeon racing is the practice of giving performance-enhancing drugs to avian racers. The drugs are used to produce similar effects to those found in human athletes, building up muscle tissue and opening the respiratory tracts. In addition, something can be used to delay molting, allowing birds to race late into a season. Oh my God.
There's doping in the pigeon racing.
This is scandalous. This is scandalous. I don't know. I think I am overjoyed and very gleeful that this did not turn out to be you pulling my leg. Like,
no, this is all real stuff. I don't joke.
I will say this, 40 episodes ago when we recorded episode 1, I don't think I ever would have thought that at this point we'd be talking about pigeon racing. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not gonna lie.
No. I mean, I had no idea we were gonna talk about this.
This is amazing. This is so cool. I
mean, obviously.
This is so cool. So, like, oh my gosh. Like, racing pigeons are often transported in specially modified trucks. Look at this thing. I'm sending you a link right now.
Okay, let me go look.
You gotta check out this freaking, look at this pigeon truck, dude. Look at, just click on the link. Don't look at the birdie link. Okay.
Whoa, that's right? Pretty legit.
Isn't that awesome? This is so cool.
Look at this thing that we're both looking at and no one else can see because this is a podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you describe what the pigeon truck looks like?
It's like a whole bunch of windows on like the side of a truck, and each one's like a cage, I guess.
Yeah. That's like, and it's like a box truck, like a giant U-Haul type thing.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
So it's very cool. There will be a link in the show notes. I'll make sure.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. This is very interesting. I kind of want to race pigeons now. And you're,
do you?
Yeah, your great uncle was way ahead of the curve on this. Way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah. He was doing some stuff, man.
Do you think he would have partook in the doping of racing pigeons?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Upstanding guy?
I don't know. I don't think I ever met him, to be honest. But yeah. Oh my god. M-Cole, I learned something right here, right now, and it's going to disappoint you.
Oh, no, please don't.
The sport is banned in Chicago. I wonder why.
I wonder why. I mean, we have a lot of pigeons. We have a lot of pigeons.
The American Race and Pigeon Union says that Chicago is the only city that bans pet pigeons, and they say it is not fair. The court upheld a lower court ruling against claims by some enthusiasts that the ordinance is unconstitutional. We're hurting nobody, said Carl Wallenhaupt from the Chicago Racing Pigeon Club.
Oh my gosh.
That makes sense. Coo noisily and litter the area with feathers and droppings.
And so we have just a disgusting amount of pigeons in Chicago. And there's also a very, I would say, not high opinion of pigeons, as you could tell from the beginning of this conversation with a Chicagoan. So I don't think I'm all that surprised that it's banned here. And then that would also explain why I don't know that pigeon racing is a thing. All the pigeon racers have left the Chicagoland area.
Really?
So it has to be. Why would you stay here? If you race pigeons, like, you can go elsewhere and actually race them.
I guess so, yeah.
Right? That's like if we like banned baseball. Like, do you think you would well, then there's TV. I feel like pigeon racing is an in person.
It should be on TV. We should stream pigeon racing.
That'd be pretty awesome. IRL category.
Oh yeah. You guys have a bird collection like unit?
We do.
Did you know that? Yeah.
I was not so aware of this.
Any dead bird that's in Chicago will be picked up by the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors.
I think I knew this.
You must have a lot of.
We do. I don't think I've ever. I very rarely have seen like a dead bird in Chicago.
Damn.
So yeah, I thought you meant like they collect like live birds and brought them somewhere. I think I've ever seen somebody like picking up live birds off the street. So.
Huh.
That's interesting. Very cool.
Racing pigeons is a sport that dates back to 1200 BC.
Really? Wow.
Jesus. All right. Well, you know what? We learned a lot of things today on the podcast, and I think that was nice. That was fun.
That was fun.
A little bit of fun facts.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry you can't race them in Chicago, though.
It's okay. When I come visit, then you'll show me your entire, what is it called to have a collection of racing pigeons? Your stock of pigeons?
My coop.
Your coop. Your pigeon. Your coop of pigeons. Pigeon coop.
My coop of pigeon. My pigeon coop.
Pigeon coop. Pigeon pigeon coop. What would you name your pigeon racing team? Since you're the pro at naming everything. Just take one of your band names and apply it to the pigeon racing.
The Ugly Ducklings.
Oh, poor things. That's not fair. No one, if they don't win, I'll be like, look, like the morale just starts in the gutter. Like, if I was them, I wouldn't want to do anything ever.
That's
like
sometimes you got to break them down to build them back up.
Yeah, that's like being on like a sports team that's called like Can Never Win or something like that. It's just like, oh,
it can never win.
So
yeah, well, that's it, guys. It's over.
It's over. It's like we just put our jerseys on. Like, what do you mean?
Look at the name. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Sure.
Actually, I would like that team. It'd probably be the first sports team that would ever let me on. I'd be like, you look like so not coordinated. You're perfect. Come join us. It's like, oh, yes. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't do well in sports. I'm not. I like to run, and that's about it. That's about it.
I played a lot of sports as a kid.
You seem like an athletic person, an athletic child. Yeah. Something about you gives off the vibe. Let me guess. Your favorite sport was baseball.
It was one of the sports I played for the longest time. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. That works too. That works too. What sports?
I have a lot of bad memories associated with the sports I played.
Oh, now I feel like we're like uncovering all these, but we're talking.
Let's
about
dig
it.
Deep.
Let's dig deep.
Let me tell you one of the worst things that ever happened to me as a kid.
Okay, I'm ready.
And both of them happened while playing baseball.
Wait, I thought we were talking about one. Talking about two now?
There are two. I remembered another one. Now I'm even more sad. Okay, so there are two things. So
yeah.
One of them was I always wanted to pitch in baseball. I thought I always would be a really good pitcher because I have a pretty strong like arm. And I felt like I was either really good like outfield wise, because like you have to have a pretty strong arm to like throw far, obviously. And I'd be really good as a pitcher because I could throw really fast.
Yeah.
So I was on a lot of baseball teams, and the coach always never let me pitch. Like every single, like they always had like their son pitching, who was like my shining star, you know, like one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I could never pitch. It just, they wouldn't let me. So I had still been practicing to pitch, and I had never pitched in front of anyone before. And we're having a game, and we were up by a lot. And finally, the coach was just like, all right, like this is like, it's like the eighth inning or something. It's like, Nick, you're going to go and pitch. And I'm like, and I think it's just because like me and my dad annoyed him enough to make me like let me pitch.
Yes.
And I was like really, really excited, but I was also really nervous because I had never pitched a game before. And I was like practicing, like, because, you know, you get like a couple of throws on the mound before you start like actually having batters. And I was like, when my first batter came up, I was finally like, wait, like, what do I do?
Oh my gosh.
And like,
that's terrifying.
To this day, I still don't really know what, like, as a pitcher, what do you decide to do?
You would think,
oh, you want to throw the ball really hard, really fast every single time. But that doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Because you need to change every single time your kind of pitch, because like they get the batters get used to it, and they find out how to use your weaknesses against you, and this whole thing. So I was like, I don't know actually like how to pitch. So I started like just like throwing the ball really hard. And I found out that I was a really wild pitcher, and my ball would just like fly to like the left, and it'd be like a crazy ball on the, and I was like really like nervous, and I didn't really know what was going on. And I threw so many balls that it started happening where like people just started getting on the bases, and it started being bases loaded all the time. People were bases loaded, people running into home because I just kept throwing balls. And then, so then I hit a guy with the ball, and it was like one of the worst feelings I had ever had.
Oh my God, Skanky.
To hit a kid with a ball is like,
yeah.
It's like my biggest fear. It was my biggest fear as a kid on the, like hitting the ball, was getting hit by it.
Yeah.
And I had just done that to somebody, and I felt
God.
Terrible. I did actually end up
so
striking someone out, which was cool. But I think we actually lost the game because I threw too many balls and too many people went around the home plate.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I never pitched again.
Isn't it once they take the pitcher off and put you on, they can't bring the old guy back?
No. Well, they can.
Oh, they can. Okay. They should have.
But it's just like Little League. But I mean, I was like, the other thing was the catcher was yelling at me, which wasn't helping. And like, you know how like the catcher like will walk up to the pitcher and be like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, we're having a conversation, blah, 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 blah. But like, he kept walking up to me and being like, dude, you got to stop pitching like this. I was like, I don't know how to pitch. I don't know how to do this. And and that wasn't helping. I kept looking at the coach like, hey, you might want to take me out. Like, we're going to lose this game. But he was already said like, hey, you want to pitch? Like, it's on you. And honestly, yeah, it was because like, I mean, I had been begging to pitch for so long, and like, I finally got my shot, and I fucking blew it. Really
this
bad.
Is awful.
It was a pretty sad moment, and it really sticks out to me. Like, I remember the exact feel where it was at. I remember everything about that one time where I really fucked up pitching a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was my other time.
Oh gosh,
we're just getting so depressing. In
this
here.
Is great.
I'll keep this one short, but I was in the I was in the batting order where, like, you're kind of, like, near the end of the middle of the batting order.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, they say that, like, that you put people there because sometimes you'll be in a pressure situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'll have, like, a bases loaded situation or you'll have, like, a two outs kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the guy who's supposed to, like, really bring it back and try to get runs in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was put into that batting position.
Nice.
And I know, right? Isn't that fantastic?
This is great.
So I had the, in baseball, what is the most pressurized situation you could possibly have? They were, the opposing team was up by 1 point. The bases were loaded. There were two outs, and I had three balls, two strikes.
Oh, gosh.
And I was about to hit.
Oh, my God. The pressure.
Next.
The pressure.
So, if people don't understand baseball, which I think most people kind of do, but if you don't, if I miss the ball, if I strike out, then we lose the game. Even if I hit the ball, if I tap it in, we have a chance of getting a run and the person coming in and us tying the game. So, we can keep playing until we hopefully win. And I was like so scared and the pitcher on the mound was really good. Like he was a really fast pitcher, I remember. And, everyone was like, you know, counting on me and I struck out.
No, Skanky.
I did. I struck out.
This is like the Sandlot, but not inspiring.
Yeah, it's not inspiring. I mean, it just shows like how fucked up sometimes things in Little League can be.
Yeah, right.
Like there are like a lot of fucked up things. Like I don't know. Like that one really stuck with me. People were angry at me. Like people were really angry. I was like, I'm sorry. Like I legitimately remember going home and crying because I was so upset about it.
So
it was a terrible memory.
Well, no,
why are we talking about this?
So I had a similar one. Not to that.
Did you?
I did not have a high pressure thing. But part of the reason why I don't like sports is because of T-ball. All right. So this is like super young. And I think I did like one day of T-ball and like went home like crying and insisting to my parents I never wanted to go back again. But because I have like terrible hand-eye coordination. It was like my first day ever. And I was having a hard time hitting the ball off the tee. And like the adult coach person kept getting like really, really upset with me and yelling at me about like why I couldn't do it. And like that doesn't make the situation any easier.
Yeah.
Like it's not
taking it so seriously.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, thank you for yelling at me. Now I will go easily hit that ball that I couldn't do the 20 times before this. And like it was miserable. And then it's even worse, like when I think I joined like either later in the season or like everyone that was on the team had already played together before. And so I was like the new kid and everyone else knew what they were doing and I had no idea about any of it. And I was just kind of like put into this because like my parents felt like maybe I should do sports as a kid because I might enjoy it. And it was just the worst, most miserable experience I've ever had. And I didn't do many sports after that. So it was it was a good life after that. But that was terrible.
Yeah.
That scarred me. So
there was a time where I really loved baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was like a little bit younger before all these traumatic experiences happened,
mm-hmm.
I was addicted to baseball. It's
really?
Like it was my favorite sport. It was the only thing I ever watched, and all I wanted to do was play it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember like me and my dad used to go over like strategy, mm-hmm. which like you don't even like think about strategy in baseball. Like,
yeah.
What are you supposed to strategize? But there's actually a lot of things that you may like not notice if you've never played baseball and you're watching it,
mm-hmm.
that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had never known as a kid. So it was interesting to learn it all. And I was playing infield at the time. So I was playing like shortstop and third base, which like you get like a lot of action over there because most people are right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like most balls go towards you. So like it's good practice as well for like doing all that. So, and then like, I don't know, something happened. Oh, it's because the coaches used to pitch back then.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then they switched to the kids actually pitching. And that's when it got a little bit more, I think, frightening,
mm-hmm.
for me. Because when a kid is pitching towards you, you're like, I mean, like, this guy could literally hit you in the head with this ball and like at yeah. any moment. And
yeah,
it's so
exactly.
scary.
Oh,
so that was like, I think that was one of my fall outs.
Yeah.
Was kids starting pitching.
I can see that.
Huh.
Wow.
Sad times. Sad
yeah,
times.
That's sad times.
I did play other sports, though.
Hey, well, all right. So what other sports did you play? Just a real quick rundown of the list.
I played, as a young lad, I played soccer for a little while,
okay.
which I liked.
All right.
But then baseball took over a lot more, and I played baseball for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to lacrosse, which I played lacrosse for.
I can see you being a lacrosse guy.
For a good amount of time.
Wow.
Good amount of time I played lacrosse.
Interesting.
Which is a fun game.
Looks like it. Looks like it. I think it would be terrible.
Yeah, it is pretty.
It looks it, like it. Looks good.
There's a lot of hand-eye coordination in lacrosse.
Yeah, I'm not for me then. Not yeah. for me at all. So
it's a fun sport, though.
Very cool.
But there's a lot of running. Oh, God.
Love running. Running's the only
all
thing
you're
I
doing
enjoy.
Is running.
Love running all so you're... much.
I ran, too. For
oh,
a
yeah?
bit, and then I kind of lost it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing a solid 5 miles.
Yeah, you were way more active than I was as a child.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I was not.
What did you mostly do?
I don't know what I did as a kid. Played lots of video games.
That's not a good answer.
Played lots of video games.
That's fine. That's cool.
I don't know. I was also like the super like geeky, nerdy kid that like enjoyed reading and doing and learning and stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, no. And then,
that's fine.
And I worked a lot. Once I was like of age, like working age, and I can get like, you know, like I think it was like 15, 16, you can get like, you can start working and it's not like child labor.
You get your worker's permit.
Yeah, yes. And then once I got that, like I put in lots of hours working. So like I did a lot of that in high school.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. That's my super exciting childhood. No, that's
I mean, hey, that's a pretty normal one. That's fine.
Yeah. No, I watch TV, movies, just not sports.
You don't need to. You know, I think sports are silly sometimes. I had to go shoot something for a class the other day.
Mm-hmm.
At a shoemaker's place.
Okay.
And the guy was just like trying to make conversation with me, and he was like he was an interesting person.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean he was weird. So
love
like,
weird
and
people.
he was like, oh, so what do you do for exercise? And I was like, I don't know, I walk a lot because like I'm walking everywhere. He's like, oh, well, humans were made for walking. You don't have like a technique or something. You don't go to the gym. I'm like, not really. Like, why are we having
yeah,
this conversation?
Yeah, this is getting weird.
It's like super awkward. He's like, what sports did you play as a kid?
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, oh, I played baseball. I played lacrosse. Oh, lacrosse. It's a good sport. Good sport. I was like, and then he's doing a whole rant about like how kids like should all play sports and stuff. I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
that would have been the most awkward conversation for me. Yeah.
I don't play any sports.
Yeah. Like,
and I run. And he'd be like, well, humans are made for running. What else do you do?
Exactly. Well, that's a bare minimum. Like, you should be doing that anyways.
Oh, God.
Jeez. All right. Thanks, man. So, all right, I take it back. I don't like the weird guy anymore. I'm sorry, Skate.
Yeah, no, he was pretty weird. Yeah. But I just like, I don't know. Everyone likes their own thing.
No, exactly. That's the best part about growing up, in my opinion, is that I feel like as I've grown up, I've gotten more comfortable with what I like doing and also more comfortable with not doing what other people think people should be doing. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when I was in like middle school and it's like, oh, all these other people do sports. I'm like, I play video games. And then I'm like super self-conscious about myself. Like, maybe I should be doing sports. Why don't I like sports? I'm not normal. But yeah. And then when, as you get older, you're like, yeah, screw that shit.
Oh, but you're not normal.
I'm not normal. Oh, I'm so freaking not normal.
None of us are. None of us are.
No, not normal.
Yeah.
So, speaking of not normal, Skinky. Yeah. Skinky. I've been playing this freaking amazing video game.
Okay, what amazing video game is that?
Have you heard of the paperclip game?
The paperclip game? Yeah. No, I've never heard of that before.
Really? Oh, it's so amazing. It's changed my life.
What is the paperclip game?
First of all, do you have any guilty pleasure games? Like a game that you really shouldn't like, but like there's just something about it that you really, really love.
I have a short story about a funny game that
tell me about it. I need to know now. Tell me about this.
So when I was a senior in college, my friend, he was a bit of a weeb.
Okay.
And he thought it would be funny to buy Honey Pop.
What's Honey Pop? Wait,
Honey Pop is a video game.
Is it the matching video game that with the dating of the women? No, never mind. Honey Pop.
Kind of.
I'm Googling it.
Honey Pop. How would you describe it?
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about.
Okay, hold on. It is Honey Pop is
a dating puzzle RPG.
It's a dating puzzle RPG, yeah. And I think they're...
So, hold on. This is the game I was thinking about the other day. We were talking about games banned on Twitch.
Oh, this is banned.
The reason I was thinking about it is it was actually in a Humble Bundle, last month, I think. Like, there was a big Honey Pop Humble Bundle where you can get all of them. And I was like, oh my god, what really? Is this? And it seems so off of, like, off tangent of what Humble Bundle usually offers. And yeah, it was a little strange. But anyways, but yeah, Honey Pop. So bring me back to this this game.
So he got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was him, me, my other roommate, and the guy who bought Honey Pop's like other friend,
mm-hmm.
and my other roommate's brother, and we would all sit there and play Honey Pop together, and it was ridiculous.
My god!
Because like the shit that happens in that game, like I can't even talk about it on this podcast because like.
Let's just say it's banned from Twitch for a very good reason.
It is definitely banned for a good reason, but oh my god, I guess that was a guilty pleasure, but it was so fun.
Oh my god, I so love that you played this with friends.
It has amazing moments, and yeah.
So great. To give you guys an idea of what it is, if you look at the Kickstarter page, when it talks about the people running the Kickstarter, it literally is titled "The Pervs Making This Game." This is so great. Anyways, but yeah.
You pretty much play Candy
Crush-esque
mm-hmm. games so that anime girls take their clothes off.
Yes, that is essentially what the game is.
Literally, that is the game.
Oh my god, that's so amazing.
And it caused so many funny moments to happen.
Oh, I can totally see that. That's awesome. That's really funny. I love that.
It was so funny. Well,
now,
so
the paperclips is not going to approach anywhere near where your guilty pleasure
game
was.
Go back to the paperclips. What is this paperclip game?
Anyway, so I found out about it last week. Have you ever played a cookie clicker type game?
Cookie clicker. No, explain that to me.
So cookie clicker type games are really just like bottom of the barrel, worst type of like games that like tap into your primal instinct type thing. And
oh, sure.
It's like
sure,
the okay. essentially, was it the Clicker Heroes was another where like literally all you do is click a button, right? That's all you pretty much do. And then you get upgrades that automatically clicks the button for you. And then you can like upgrade that so like it clicks the button faster. And then you get other buttons and all it literally is filling up progress bars. And like it literally is, I believe like some of like the science behind it is that it like taps into like primal like needs of like your body, where because it's like such instant like payoff, like when you click it, you get instantly rewarded by, oh, look, you did something good. And it's like always like just attainable. And so it kind of like people get like addicted to doing this type of stuff. The most recent one I had was that I played before Paperclips is called Adventure Capitalist. And I started playing it and like I could not stop. I couldn't like every second that like I wasn't doing something else, I would like pull it out and like manage my little clicking of buttons. And it was it was so bad. Like I told one of my buddies about it and he was just kind of like laughing at me. He's like, this is ridiculous. And like a week later I saw him and he is like, seriously, fuck you. Like I cannot stop playing Adventure Capitalist, because like it literally, it just like feeds into that. Anyway, so Paperclips came out last week. It's literally a fully web-based game with like barely any UI. It's basic web elements of like buttons and text, and what it does is it kind of simulates the supercomputer artificial intelligence problem, where it's based on, I think it's called a parable of like the paperclip. Like if you told a supercomputer to make a paperclip, it wouldn't just stop at doing that, right? It would keep making paperclips, and then like theoretically if you extended it all the way down to its like natural thing, it would like take all the resources of the entire world or further to keep making paperclips, because that's what its job is to do. And so this game is kind of based on that, and it's a clicker game. You click and you make paperclips, and then you upgrade and it automatically makes paperclips for you. And then at some point in the game, a friendly little artificial intelligence starts popping up to you, like talking to you, and you start upgrading things through the artificial intelligence. The thing with it, though, is it's like a cookie clicker type game, but surprisingly deep. It's got like a really cool, interesting storyline with it. It's got very cool mechanics that pop up later. The way it adjusts, it goes through different phases. The way it adjusts, it's just really interesting the way that this person has approached it. So much so that when I first started doing it, I thought it was just another cookie clicker game, and I was just getting addicted to based on that. I told Tiny about it, and like I regret doing that because she went in deep on this. Like she got really addicted to the cookie of the clickers. Cooking of the clickers, the cookie clickers, the clicking of the
cookies.
It really has cool mechanics. And so like I kind of like started to wean myself off of it, and then like I went back in, and as I pushed further, like it really kind of revealed like this just awesome thing. It's like the way it evolves and adjusts. There'll be a link in the show notes in case anyone is interested in destroying their life by the paperclip game. But one thing I kind of love about it is you get to a point where like, not really a spoiler, but like you kind of shift from making paperclips to like kind of developing the systems around letting something else make paperclips. And it's just, it's really cool to see how they did that story. And I feel like this is an example of a game that doesn't look like a traditional type of game, but it's got so many of the elements of it, and it is just so extremely well done that like I think if I sent this to you and I told you it was a great game, you would think I was joking. But if you put in like 6 hours into it and got to like the next stage of it, I think you would come back and say, yes, this is a really good game. Me and Tiny we've spent way more time talking about this game than either of us would probably ever care to admit to other people. Oh, good thing no one listens to Shenanigans. But like it got to a point where like Joe was gonna murder both of us if we did not shut up about the damn paperclips.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. I strongly recommend checking it out. So
I'm kind of scared. I don't think I am.
Don't. If you have anything that you need to be doing at any time in the near future, don't do it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little busy.
Yeah, don't do that. Especially
to hold off.
Especially because I feel like gamers tend to have like the addictive personalities when it comes to things like this, that they're easily susceptible to just falling down like the black hole of clicking a button.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't need that in my life.
You don't think you do? Just one bump.
I already click on so many other things.
It's true. It's true. But it's kind of, you know, one thing that's kind of cool about it, not necessarily this game in general, but the idea about the cookie clickers is that, like, what we enjoy in video games can be so easy boiled down to one basic, like, reward cycle. Click a button, and if good things happen, you want to keep doing it. You can apply that to, like, everything. Like Stardew Valley, you click the button, you get the fruits, and then your mind starts to associate that with the payoff of getting the money later to kind of keep progressing, right? Boils down to that. You can even apply it to first person shooters. You play Overwatch, you click the button, and then if you get hits on the enemy players and you kill those enemy players, then it now rewards you and your team could win, right? Like, everything can boil down to the basic clicking cookie clicker type philosophy, and it's part of the reason why video games are so I think at this point they are addicting, but another reason why they're just kind of so satisfying. So I don't know. It's awesome. It's cool.
Damn. That's I never would have thought you would have gotten to a cookie clicker game.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes you just can't control, like, the primal lizard brain inside you that's like, just do it. Just
keep clicking. No. I mean, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, I think about it, man. I can't get it out of my mind.
You just gotta keep clicking. You gotta keep going.
Just gotta keep clicking. You're addicted. Yeah.
So. You're full on addicted.
I am full on addicted. So we both have our guilty pleasures in vastly opposite directions.
Yes. Vastly opposite directions.
But yeah, no, it's great. So in all honesty, though, if anyone does check out or has heard of the Paperclip game, let us know on Twitter, twitter.com/shenanticspod. We'd love to hear
about it. Hey, nice little throw in. I like that. That was good.
Yeah, I want to hear all the other people got addicted to it. So.
Oh, God.
It was taking over the internet for a while. I think I read an article about it on Polygon, which is how I then found out about it. And I blame it.
Really? It's been... Oh, shit. I didn't know it was that big.
That's why I was surprised that you hadn't heard of
Polygon. I don't read any of those little websites.
You're too busy.
Yeah, I'm a busy boy.
Too busy making content. He's out there every night of the week, except for Wednesdays and Sundays, creating content for everyone, and I'm just making paperclips.
It's right. It's true.
That's, if anyone wants to know why I don't stream that often anymore, it's because of the paperclip game.
It's good. Hashtag paperclips. The poop poop papa game.
Yes, but yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine.
Making that free content.
Exactly. Speaking of making free content, Skanky. Do you have a small streamer shout out this week?
I do have a small streamer shout out for you. What if one time I just say no? I don't have one.
I think we would. I don't know actually what I would do. I'd probably be like, all right, let's go to the food fitted. I don't know. I'll have to start thinking about that, because now I think next time that this is going to happen, you're going to say no.
No,
I got a better idea. Next week is my turn, so if I just say no to you and see how you handle it, then I'll know what I should do in the future.
I could. That's a possibility. I'll be honest. I just unplugged my headset, so I didn't hear like a word you said. So it's fine. Okay, so my small streamer shout out for this week is a man by the name of Spicy Space Muffin.
Ooh, I like that.
It's a nice little name, like a alliteration on the spicy space, and then the muffins different. But I relate to this man because I used to have the name with the phrase muffin in it, and I think we're twinning on that one. And he plays a whole bunch of different games. He hosted me one night and kind of liked his stream as well, and host each other back and forth. Pretty sick. He's been streaming some BioShock. He does some Walking Dead Season 2. Amazing. I love Walking Dead Season 1 and 2. They're fantastic. And then we got, he streams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Holy shit. Streams every single day of the week. Monday through Friday, he streams at 1 p.m. Pacific. And Saturday and Sunday, he streams at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Ooh, I love that schedule. That's a good one. You get the nice schedule that you could get behind. Yeah, you get the nice mix of the daytime streams during the week and then the nighttime party streams down the weekends.
See, so. Look at that. Look
doing
at that.
It right.
And, yeah, he's a nice guy. Go check him out. Spicy Space Muffin, SpiciSpaceMuffin.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I remember when we talked about your muffin username, and then we came up with the amazing band name, Droppin' the Muffins.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did have that discussion.
We did. We did. You and I have talked about a lot in 41 episodes, including pigeon racing now. So it's
this episode was really weird.
If we could map out this episode, we talked about pigeon racing, baseball, and paper clips, okay?
Like, not only baseball, like my depressing childhood memories.
Yeah, we dug deep. This was a like hashtag real talk, if I've ever heard one, man. This was
we skipped around so much.
I know. I feel like if I ever have some downtime, if I ever take a staycation at home, I think I would want to like map out how a Shenantics episode goes. Like, yeah, right. Like, just be like, where were the connections between all the different things we talked about? So, I think that'd be cool. So, if anyone ever has any free time, they feel like doing that, just shoot me an email. So, it'd be great. But, Skanky, do you have a food finish?
No, but do you? Because I had a food finish last week.
You did.
And it was fantastic.
It was. The eggs one was a very, very, very good food finish. So I kind of have it's not a food finish in that it's about a specific food, but it's more of like a food delivery way, like method. I'm assuming you guys have this in New York because they've become really popular in Chicago. Do you guys have this like resurgence of like food halls?
Food halls?
Halls. H-A-L-L-S.
Hall?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So we have these food halls in Chicago, like in the Loop area where all the businesses are. And It's essentially a food court, but like, they're trying to like rebrand it as like high end. And so you get like a lot of the local businesses, like the local restaurants will have like little pop-up shops in these food halls. And so you'll go in and like some of them will have like, you know, a high end taco place, like some type of barbecue place, some type of cool sandwich place, fish place, all that kind of stuff. And it's a nice thing, especially for like lunches. So like, let's say you go out with like coworkers for lunch, then you can just go to one of these and they have all these different options for everyone to eat at. So they're nice and convenient and pretty cool. But so I was just wondering if you had any in New York and if you had any thoughts on them, but apparently you don't, and it's only
I've
Chicago.
I've never heard of them before.
Really?
No, we don't. We do not have that in New York.
Interesting. I was thinking about, because today we went to a new one by me that just opened up, and they have this really weird type. You know what like a food court looks like, right?
Yeah,
it's got like all the different
food courts.
Yeah, like all the different little.
I mean, we're not weird.
Kiosks, and so this one was set up that way. And it's like you could see all the different kiosks, but you couldn't go up to them and get your food. You had to go to like a computer terminal and place your order there, and then go wait by like the kiosky food, or not the kiosk, but go wait by like the food area and wait for them to prepare your food and then give it to you. It was very bizarre, but like I also kind of loved it. It just felt more streamlined and easy. Like, all right, I'm gonna put my order in real quick. I got my number. I'm just gonna go wait over by them until they like call number 23 to give me my tacos and I leave. So I kind of like that system. But yeah, I don't know. That was my shitty food finish for this week, was talking about food halls that don't exist in New York.
Okay, this is gonna be a random question. Have you ever gone to Panera Bread?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't like it from the way I'm hearing your voice, intonation.
Tell me about Panera Bread, and I'll tell you how I feel about Panera Bread.
All right. Well, I have feelings about Panera Bread.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Are they good or bad feelings?
Bad.
Okay. All right, good. I was going to say, I was like, I'm gonna feel really bad if you have great feelings, and I'm going to be like, let me shit all over that for you.
No. So there are a couple of things. Number one, yeah. I used to like Panera Bread.
Okay, me too.
And it was like a couple of years ago. And I used to get the same thing every single time I went there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get the Italian thing. What was it? Italian? It was like an Italian sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like, it was a simple sandwich and it tastes good every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened like in this past year where they changed their whole menu, and it just seems like the quality has really gone downhill.
Yeah.
And everything that I get there, like, comes out of a bag and it's just like weird. And I don't know. I'm very disappointed because Panera used to be like a pretty like okay place to go and get like a sandwich or something, like mm-hmm. nothing serious. And it really, really, like I kept giving Panera chances. Mm-hmm. And it happened when I was still at my old job. I was like, one day it was lunchtime. I'm like, I'm going to Panera Bread and I'm going to go see what the hell's going on. And I went in there and they have like what you were talking about where you order it on a tablet screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like, I guess I could get used to this. This is fine. So I go to order and number one, they don't have my Italian sandwich thing that I always get. Mm-hmm. It was out of stock or whatever.
Oh God.
But when I looked at it, they had all different ingredients in it. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I'm like, I'm going to order this other thing that I think I got like it's like they have a roast beef sandwich that's like, eh. So I was like, okay, I'll try that. And let me tell you, it was one of the worst sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Oh gosh.
It was terrible. I was so disappointed. I keep giving Panera chances, but
yeah.
They never pulled through. Okay, tell me your thoughts about Panera.
Okay, so I just like Panera. It was pretty good food. Like, and I always felt like a little bit healthier eating at Panera for some reason. I don't know why. It wasn't really earned, but I did. It felt like it tasted good. Good food overall and stuff like that. And then it really did feel like it kind of had a downhill type turn where just kept getting worse and worse quality wise across many different restaurants. So it wasn't even like one location's problem. But the point where like it really, and it's also like, I think it's important to say that Panera Bread also is kind of pricey, right? It's not like necessarily a cheap place to go to.
They are a little bit pricey. Yeah.
I mean, that's not like McDonald's, right? Like when you go to McDonald's and you get McDonald's, you're like, yeah, I did just pay like $5 for 20 chicken nuggets. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of know what you're getting into. But Panera charges like a little bit like higher prices. So like if you were to go to like a nice like sandwich shop, right? Like they're charging comparable, if not more than what that other sandwich shop would charge.
Sure.
And the one that kind of like really turned it 180 for me is all in one type of visit. And I was like standing waiting for them to like have my food done. And this mom comes up with her kid had some type of pasta dish and she wanted to know if she could get some more sauce on it. She's like, oh, this doesn't really have a lot of sauce. Is there any chance you guys can just put a little bit more sauce on it? And they were like, no, we really can't do that. And she's like, well, is it really that big of a deal? Like, you know, if you want, I'll pay for the extra sauce. And like, no, like, all of our pasta dishes come pre-packaged and we just put it in the microwave. So like, we don't actually have extra sauce to go put on it. And I'm like, if I'm just paying for like a microwave frozen meal, like it seems like, okay, I'm paying a little bit
too
much
for
that.
Why am I even doing this?
Yeah. I just see it like, it's not this, oh, delicious, fresh quality type thing that they're trying to present. Like, okay, maybe their sandwiches are, but clearly their pasta is not. But then the one that really kind of turned it like so much and I can't go back there is there's nothing worse than seeing them bring the giant plastic bag of soup out into like the area and cut it open and dump it into the container that they're then going to ladle out of. And
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I see the same thing.
Yeah. And the first time, like when I saw it, I was like, wow, like why did you bring it out here? I would have brought the thing into the back and dumped the bag into it. Like I'm not going to bring it out here where you have like 10, 15 customers waiting for their food. And some of us got that like, that soup.
I know.
And you clearly just cut it open and dumped it in. It's like so much for this like idea that they're serving fresh, somewhat higher quality food when you watch it be poured out of a bag. Like it was like,
it
no, thank
that
you.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I don't have a very high opinion of Panera Bread.
All right, good. We're on the same page. We both had the same experience.
Yeah. We're never going to get a sponsor for this podcast.
Hey, we're honest.
We are honest. That's how people know that if we ever did, that we would be telling them the truth.
Yeah, okay.
Because
I like this. This is good.
It is. Panera, change your tactics. You're not doing good.
Change of tactics.
So, yeah, you're like the McDonald's of sandwich places that charges more.
So, I guess so. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I know.
Yeah.
Even our food finishes all over the place.
Yeah, this was a very dig deep episode, I guess.
I guess.
We were also brought to some dark places today.
We did go to some dark places.
Yeah. So.
But I think it was all worth it.
Yeah, I think it was good. I think it was good. Speaking of which, you guys, that has been another episode of Shenantics. New episodes go live bright and early Monday morning, just in time for your workday, school day. Or if you guys are one of the many people going to TwitchCon, your TwitchCon recovery day, you can find the podcast anywhere you find podcasts, including the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, and our website at shenantics.rocks. If you have time, make sure you leave us a rating and review. It really does help. If you have any comments or questions, you can send us a tweet at twitter.com/shenanticspod or an email at shenanticspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to join the discussion, go to shenanticspod.com/about, click the invite link. It'll bring you over to the Discord, where there are tons of cool Shenantics fanatics talking about the podcast every week. Skanky, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/skanky, S-K-X-N-K-Y, and on Twitter at iSkanky, I-S-K-A-N-K-Y. M-Cole, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/M-Cole_M-C-U-L, the underscore symbol, and also on Twitter at twitter.com/M-Cole_skanky. I got one more thing I need to tell you before we head off.
Go.
So, because it reminded me when I said my name. So, TESPA, the Hearthstone Collegiate eSport thing, whatever, was asking people for questions that they could read on their stream. I sent them a question, they read it on stream, and I got a card back, and they called me MCUL underscore, which was not correct. But either way, I clipped it, I'm famous, I was on the official Play Hearthstone channel, it was so cool.
Dude, I am so proud of you.
It was so cool, I'm very happy. I should have put like hashtag Shenantics Fanatics, but I completely didn't think of that.
That's so. Okay, but you know what? That was a good ending because we had a kind of depressing podcast.
We did. We always end on the high.
That was a happy ending. Exactly. That was a happy ending.
Exactly. Skanky, you have a great time at TwitchCon this weekend.
Oh, I shall. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.